Let's open our Bibles this morning to John chapter 3 and verse 16, and I'm going to read 16, 17, and 18. I'm going to read from the King James Version. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Thank God. Hallelujah. And as I like to read, Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of his word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And we thank God for that, that the entrance, that to me means, the entrance of his word means that we've got to do something. We've got to let it enter in. He's not going to just overpower us. We've got to open our hearts and receive it. And it says here that there it giveth, meaning the words, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And I like the Amplified. It talks about the entrance and unfolding of his words. So there's a process of letting it enter in, and then there's a process of unfolding and revealing, which is what God will do as we let it enter in and we feed upon it and meditate upon it. We make our way prosperous. One of the things that we highlighted in the last lesson, I'd like to just read that. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3 for a moment. Galatians chapter 3. And let's read verses 13 and 14 together, if you would. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And when you read something like the first, the 13th verse, which says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, one might say, well, what is the curse of the law? And you can certainly, which we did this past Wednesday, we took some time and walked through Deuteronomy 28 from verses 15 to the end of the chapter and looked at what the curse of the law was in the area of healing. And some of the verses highlight that, where physical sickness is concerned. And we begin to see what it is we've been redeemed from. So when you say, okay, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, well, what is it? So that if you are walking in it, or you have it, then you can say, I've been redeemed from that. Why am I tolerating this? Why do I have this? Because it could be through ignorance, could be. Through ignorance of God's word, that you've been redeemed from something and you didn't even realize. You say, well, yeah, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, praise God. And then you're tolerating something and you didn't realize it. So once you begin to find out what you've been redeemed from, then we saw in Psalm 107, we said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I like this is the New Living Translation. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? That's a question. Yes. Then speak out. Amen. That's what the New Living says. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. You know how I was kidding on Sunday or Wednesday. I was saying, boy, I tell you, I got this. The doctor said, so you're speaking out what to your friends? What are you speaking out? Are you speaking out what the symptoms are? Are you talking about it? Are you highlighting it? Or are you saying what the Lord has says about you? Are you saying what he said? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I would say, if you spend time, don't talk much, do more listening. If you listen long enough, people usually start to talk about what's in their heart. You give people enough time and space, whatever is weighing on them, they're going to want to talk about it. Usually. Now there's the few that just don't talk. But if you give people enough time, they'll, as they say, spill the beans. They'll talk about what it is that's bothering them. They'll talk about this ache or pain, or they'll talk about their kids, or they'll talk about their husband, or their wife, or their job, or whatever, and they'll usually start to talk about that. And that is usually the area that gets you into trouble. It says, what does Proverbs 18 say? Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So, you are the ones, and it says when we were reading in Proverbs, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. What? His words. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all thy flesh. Then what's the next verse say? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. And when you read in other translations, it talks about that the things that come out of our heart create the circumstances in our lives. So when stuff is hitting the fan and all of that, sometimes we can be the creator of it. We can be the ones that put it into motion. Because we've been made in the image and likeness of God, and we are tripart. We're spirit, soul, and body. So we've been made to be able to do what? Create things with our words, just like God. So when we speak something out in faith, we put it into motion. And I know, Brother Hagin, and these are things that, thank God he shared these things, because he experienced some things that, you know, every person that is used of God, sometimes you get confronted with something and you go, wow, what's going on? This doesn't make any sense. I don't understand this. And so after however many years he was in the ministry, he shared one time, this young man was on his deathbed. He went to pray. He was on his knees praying for hours. And he finally realized, he said, Holy Ghost, you're not hooking up with me. Because you begin to know when the Holy Spirit is, you're making a connection. And he said, you're not hooking up with me. And he said, the Holy Ghost said to him, no, and I'm not. He said, this young man has put spiritual laws in motion that only he can reverse. You can't reverse them. So sometimes, even in our desire to pray with someone, we can't reverse what someone has put in motion. Sometimes. I'm not saying that's the case in all the cases, but I'm saying my point in all of that was that we need to watch what we say, because it's what comes out of the heart, spoken in faith, that begins to cause something to be put into motion. And so when we start speaking things out of frustration, you keep doing that long enough and you begin to cement it into place. Yes. And only you can change it. Amen. You're the one that has to change it. And God won't override your will. Amen. See? So sometimes when we you know, when you get ready to say something, you're like, I'm not going to say it. You know, you want to say it, you can feel it, you can taste it, but don't do it. Because it's sometimes out of that and from that place, we can put some things in motion we don't want to. And it's also in that place where you can't feel something. It doesn't look like it'll ever come to pass. It doesn't look like you'll ever get it. And there's no way you'd ever get it. Those are the kind of places that you want to release words of faith for those things that you do want. You don't wait till you kind of see it until you start speaking it. That's God didn't wait till he kind of saw light before he said it. He spoke light into existence before it was. So you've got to speak things that you desire before you see them ever come to even the possibility that you could remotely, maybe there's no possibility of you ever having it in the natural. Somebody says to you, there's no way you can live. It's impossible. Well, with God, all things are possible. By faith. So when it looks like it's never going to come to pass, that's when, not when, but you shouldn't be moved by that. And the same thing, somebody could say to you, you'll never get that job. It's impossible. Really? I serve a God of the impossible things. And I have faith in that. We've heard, who was it? Mrs. Richardson, her daughter, when she was here, she shared with us over lunch after her mother's memorial service that they had to sell the home that her mother was in for many years. She was in a nursing home. The house kind of went into disrepair. It was in Newark. It was in an area that, you know, the house ended up being boarded up. It was a shell. So, you know how people buy things and they flip them and they make a little money and whatever. So this person came and said, okay, we'll give you $25,000, which probably was probably more than what it was worth. We'll give you $25,000. And she said, nah. And then another person came and said, we'll give you $50,000. Nah. And so what she did say was she said, okay, well, we'll take the 50, because now you're figuring, hey, we got double what somebody else was going to give us. We'll take the $50,000. And so this was in a block where Governor Christie, they were all going to tear down and redo this area and kind of build up this school system area and so forth. So it was designed to kind of tear down everything. Well, this person was going to give them $50,000, and they said, nah, you know what? We're not impressed to do that. Let's just wait. And so through a bunch of circuitous events, Guess how much they got for the house? Give me some numbers. 75, 100, 250. $250,000 for a boarded up house of a shell. See, you wait on God, and I'm telling you that God, the people that'll decree impossible, I serve a God that does the impossible. And so don't be moved by what man says. Be moved by what God says to you. And that's what you're moved by. And I've been meditating upon that we need to watch what we hear, because the things that we hear consistently over and over again begin to build into us, we will have confidence over time over what we hear. You can. And so I share that because if you don't meditate day and night on the Word of God, which says you will make your way prosperous. If you meditate day and night and observe to do, you will make your way prosperous. But if you meditate day and night on what the doctor said or your accountant says, and you meditate day and night on those things, you will end up starting to have confidence and faith in that instead of what God said. And what happens is you can slip over from a point of not having confidence or faith to having confidence and faith in the negative, and you begin to, once a person has confidence in something, they begin to expect it to come to pass. And that's what the scripture says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. So we go from hope is built on, it rests on faith. So my ground that I'm on is faith. But then I have hope built, it rests on that. So when I have hope, I'm expecting something to happen. I'm hoping in something. So when we listen to TV commercials that talk about take your medicine, take this, take that, blah, 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 and I'm not against that, I'm for it, but you can begin to have an expectation of that doing something over and above what God has said. And you want to make sure you don't get it out of place. You want to keep it in its proper place and proper perspective. So today, what I would like to do, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 3. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. So we can see here, he is the Father of mercies. And one of the things that I like is that his mercies are new every morning. And they're plentiful, and they never run out. They're abounding and plenteous. Now I want us to take a moment, and let's go to, I'm going to just take a few of the Psalms, and let's take a look at these for a moment. And one of the things that I'm doing this is so that you see the Word of God which will cause faith to rise and confidence to rise, and that you don't question the will of God concerning His mercy towards you. Because when one questions the will of God, you can't have faith. If you're questioning the will of God, then it's going to affect your faith. Psalm 32, and let's look at verse 10. Psalm 32 and verse 10. It says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. See, I like this. But who? But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. He that does what? Trusts the Lord. He that trusteth in the Lord, it says, mercy shall compass him about. The Amplified, of course, amplifies that. It says, but he who trusts in, relies on, and confidently leans on the Lord. That's faith. So I've got to, what does the scripture say? He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let me ask a question. Would mercy be a reward? Oh yeah, absolutely. So he's going to reward mercy for those that come to him and ask for it in what? Faith and confidence. So I need to come in faith and confidence to God for mercy. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 33 and verse 18. Chapter 33 and verse 18. It says, behold, Psalm 33, 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. That's just another way of saying those that reverence him. Upon them that hope in his mercy. So you've got to reverence him and do what? Come and have, what does this other scripture verse say? You need to have confidently lean on the Lord, and you've got to expect or hope in mercy. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, so I can expect mercy. Psalm 40, verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. And some, I like that word preserve. In some of the more modern translations, it says protect me. So we're protected by what? His loving kindness and his truth. I like that. Psalm 66. 66 verse 20. Psalm 66 verse 20. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer. See, you come to God, he's not going to turn away your prayer. That's important to know. Nor his mercy from me. So when I go to God and I ask for mercy and plead for his mercy. This says here in Psalm 66:20, God which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. When I go and ask him, he's not going to say, come back tomorrow. Or in the scripture, he that asketh for a stone, will he give him what? I'm not going to go and ask him for mercy and he give me something else. He's not going to not give me the mercy that I'm looking for. Psalm 86 and verse 5. Psalm 86 and verse 5. Psalm 86 and verse 5. Boy, I like this. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. See, not you dirty dog, get out of my presence. No, he said here, thou art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that do what? Call upon thee. When you've missed it, you get, what do? Get your face and say, Lord, forgive me for missing it. Forgive me for acting stupid. Forgive me for not listening. Extend mercy to me. Fix my finances. I didn't listen. Fix, help my body. Fix this disease. He said he is plenteous in mercy unto all them that do what? Call on him. Boy, that's, I don't know about you, but that's good news. Because anybody who's gotten themselves in a fix, you got yourself in this box and there is absolutely no way you can fix it. You're stuck. You got a problem. What did it say? Houston, we have a problem. There's no way you can get it fixed. It looks as if you're going down. You're either going to die, you're going to lose all your money, you're going to lose your house, you're going to lose your job, you're in a jam in the natural. This says here, you are what? Full of compassion, gracious, I'm sorry, you're good, ready to do what? Forgive. And plenteous in mercy unto all them that call on thee. I'll tell you, I like that. I've been there. So if you haven't been there, you go, well, okay. I've been there on a few occasions that look like one. In one case, it looked like I was going down the tubes financially. Big amount of money. I'm not talking about a little amount of money. I'm talking about triple digits, hundreds of thousands of dollars. It looked like it was over. But God. And I was within months of dying. But God had mercy because I was violating natural laws. And I was standing on the word, applying the scriptures, but I didn't know.
All right.
There was ignorance involved. And so, thank God, God had to speak to my spirit. He said, if you don't go to the doctor and get this checked, you won't see the end of the year. Well, thank God, I was smart enough to listen and get it checked. And within weeks, my body started to mend by making some dietary changes that I had been on death's door, literally. And that was dumb. Really was dumb. Because I there's no need to go into that. That was just plain dumb. And, you know, we can be dumb standing on the word. And I don't mean that critically, but we can take a position and lock our feet in and not be sensitive to these little nudgings that'll go, hey, go to the doctor. No, I'm standing on the word. You are, but he also is kind of reading your mail and telling you, you need to go over this way. See, and what I didn't understand was that natural laws are God's laws. And I was violating them and then trying to apply scripture and still violating a natural law. Bad application. Wrong application. And so it wasn't until that was enlightened to me on death's door that I got it fixed. Thank God. But he's ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy. And I want to tell you, I had a few people come up to me after that incident, 5 or 6 years after that happened to me, that said, They were, God woke them up in the middle of the night and said, if you don't pray, he's going to die. And told me that after, years after. And I said, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it, because there was one night I felt I was slipping out of my body. So I don't doubt that. So sometimes it takes the prayers of the saints to get us through some things that we've not done accurately. Psalm 103. We're in 86. I'm sorry, 86. We looked at 5. Let's look at verse 15. Chapter 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of what? Compassion. He's full of compassion. And gracious, long-suffering, and what? Plenteous in mercy and truth. He's a loving God. Full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering. And plenteous in mercy and truth. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. God is merciful. Psalm 103, and let's start looking at verse 1 and read verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Stop. What's after the word benefits? Let me just ask it this way. Those that have a King James Version, what's after the word benefits? A colon. What do some of the other modern translations have? A dash, right? What does that mean? Something's going to follow. A colon usually means that there's going to be a list of something after the colon that substantiates what those benefits are. So we don't have to wonder about what his benefits are, do we? He's going to tell us right now. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. This is what? A benefit. This is a benefit. And forget not all his benefits. So we're not to forget his mercy. Amen. See, sometimes we're focused in on, I'm standing on the word for my healing. That's good. He healeth all thy diseases. But he also says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. We're not to forget that benefit. He has mercy, plenteous of it, for us when we need it. Psalm 107, we read that, but let's read it again. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now I'm going to just, because there's too much time that's needed to do this. Look at Psalm, I'm going to close with this, and we'll go another direction. Psalm 119, 77, verse 77. Psalm 119, verse 77. Psalm 119, verse 77 says, let thy tender mercies come unto me. Why? That I may live, for thy law is my delight. Now, I took the time to look up the word live in the Strong's Concordance and see what that original Hebrew word might have meant. Be interesting to say, it says, to live or have life, remain alive, to sustain life. This is what I like. It says to be quickened. To be quickened. It says to revive, be quickened from sickness, from discouragement, from faintness, and from death. So it says, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may be quickened. Be quickened. And here, bear with me. Go to verse 156 in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 156. It says, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. That's the same word we just read in verse 77. Same exact word. Quicken is the same word for live. So it says here, quicken me from sickness according to thy judgments. Quicken me. How? His tender mercies. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now let's jump to the New Testament for a moment. And I want to just take a look at this here, a few scriptures. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And verse 27, Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 27. And this is a familiar story. It says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men following him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, not now, later. No, he said, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. What were they calling upon at that moment? Mercy. Mercy. What was the story about? Healing. Healing their eyes. And so healing is a mercy. And Jesus was full of compassion. He didn't tell them to come back another time. And every person, and if we have time, we'll do that now and we'll continue and pick up at another time. But you can walk through the Gospels and see that everyone that came to Jesus to be healed was healed and not turned away. He was moved with compassion and healed them all. Let's look at Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Verse 14. Matthew 14, 14. It says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he did what? He healed their sick. And let's go to Matthew 15. Look at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence. And departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts, and did what? Cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered, see, full of compassion. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and did what? She worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Have mercy upon me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus had answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She had faith in his mercy. What did she call upon him? Lord, have mercy upon me. And he answered her and said, I've only been sent to the house of what? Of Israel, to the lost sheep of Israel. And he said that it's not meet to take this bread and give it to the dogs. And she said, Yea, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the table. Healing is the children's bread. It's a mercy. It's a mercy. And sometimes we need to call upon God's mercy where we're concerned. We need to call upon his healing mercy. Let's look at Mark 1. Mark chapter 1. And look at verse 40. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. It says, And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou can makest me clean. Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and sent him away. He touched him, and he said unto him, I will, be thou clean. He extended mercy to that man. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Healing is a mercy. Let's turn just to, there's other accounts. I'm not going to take the time at this point because there's other. Well, let's look at Luke 18. Let's go to Luke 18. Luke 18 and verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the way begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stood and did what? Commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, What? Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Not now. No, he said, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. We need to ask him for some mercy. You need to come to God in faith for mercy, asking him. If he said, I will, back then, and he's a God that doesn't change, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you come to him asking for mercy, will he turn you away? No. Will he answer your prayer? Yes. So you should not question God's will concerning his mercy. It is not... The reason we come to God and for mercy, we don't deserve his mercy. There's nothing that we could do to merit a mercy. We get the things that we don't deserve. And so sometimes when we've done everything that we know to do, sometimes we need to just fall on God's mercy. Say, God, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. And in every instance here, what did he do? He heard their prayer and he said, what is it that you would have me to do? Well, I'm just so unworthy. I know that, but what would you have me to do? Yes. Fix this. Heal this. And then do what? Be it unto your faith. Have faith in my mercy that I'm extending to you. And have faith in that mercy. And walk away just as others have. And as they went, as some of the lepers did, as they went, they were what? They were cleansed. They were healed. Which was Luke 17:11. When the 10 lepers came, they did what? They cried, Master, have mercy on us. And he said, go show yourselves unto the priest. And as it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. Look at verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he did what? He loved us. And some of the New International Version says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. It's because of his great love for you that he has mercy for you. It's his love. And I like this translation says, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love which he has loved us. So it's this great love. He's moved with compassion, this great love that he has for us, and out of this great love, mercy is extended. Mercy is provided. And so we need to afford ourselves. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So we need to come to the throne of grace to do what? Obtain mercy and find grace in the time of help. In the time of need, I'm sorry. to find help in the time of need. So as we're finishing up here, if you find yourself today looking for mercy, and you're in a situation that you've been standing and you need something from God, I'm telling you what I believe I heard the Holy Ghost say. He wants to extend mercy to His people. And you need to, these are scriptures that we've read to build your faith that God is plenteous in mercy, and all to those that come to ask, He'll provide and receive. So you have faith that God will hear, extend His mercy to you in the area that you need mercy, and receive it and walk in it. And then do what? Have confidence that it's going to do what? Come to pass. You know, no one knows what it's like to get a pass and be freed of something unless you've walked through it. And the burden that one sometimes is faced with life circumstances, when you have God extending mercy, the judge of all the earth, extending mercy to His children. And I believe today is that day. I do.